Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Camera Work Podcast number 45. I am John Ricard, and joining me is my lovely wife, Tamara.
It's me again.
Right. Good to have you here, Tamara. So let me say first, if you're listening to the podcast on YouTube, be aware that there is an iTunes version as well. Maybe that fits into your schedule a little better than the YouTube version, depending on what you're doing on certain days. And if you're listening on iTunes, be aware that there's a YouTube version. You can kind of see us. And we don't intend a podcast to really be a visual thing, but sometimes it's kind of nice to just glance at the people and get a sense of the dynamic of the two people or three people that are talking, okay? And one more thing that I would urge you to do is, if you can, take the time to make a comment on the podcast, you know, tweet that you like the podcast or make a comment on the YouTube feed.
Did you just say in the last podcast that you don't like this?
Well, we do them super quick, though. I did say I don't like when people talk about the podcast, but I knock these out in like 2 minutes.
Sorry,
I don't spend half the podcast talking about the podcast. But the thing that I think is interesting is on Instagram, sometimes you go to close Instagram and it goes like rate Instagram. And I always think how silly it is that John Ricard is supposed to rate Instagram.
That's because you know Instagram's great, right?
But what's the point of me rating a program, an app that's got millions and millions of people on it? My rating is going to mean nothing.
They want to know how they can make your experience better.
No, it's nonsense. Whereas if you look at this podcast, to the best of my knowledge, at the time we're recording this, we have zero reviews on iTunes.
Oh, no.
Right. But if you were to take the time to go write a review on iTunes, it actually would make
a
difference.
Review people make
right.
a difference.
It would make a difference. Like,
correct.
It makes a difference to me. I would read it, and that comment I would
and
take it to
heart.
And
he'll comment back.
You can't on an iTunes.
You
review,
can't.
I answer.
Well,
every,
no wonder nobody
no.
reviews.
But
whatever.
I answer every YouTube comment though. When someone comments on a YouTube page, I answer those comments. And you know, so anyway, you may just want to give that a chance. Okay. So enough about the podcast.
True.
But the last time you were on, we were talking about a book that you liked, which was called
Life by Design by Tom Ferry.
Right. And I wanted to talk this week about a book that I love that really had an impact on me. And it was a rather surprising book for me. So the book turns out to be a very popular book today. It's called The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up.
Oh, got it for a friend for Christmas.
Did we?
No, I got it for my friend.
Oh, you did? Did you actually read the book?
No, I read parts.
Yeah, that took a long time.
I gave it to her because I knew she was in the process of tidying up, and I know how much you raved about the book, so I got it for her.
And the funny thing for me is that what happened was I was on jury duty, and I went to Barnes & Noble to kill the lunch period, the lunchtime. And as I'm walking, just something about the cover kind of grabbed me, the colors. And it looked very female, and I seem to say that like every week on the podcast. But it just, but I mean, like, I'm usually reading like Walking Dead paperback books. So it looked very female, but something about it made me pick up the book. And it was kind of like an oddly shaped book. And I just read it, and it was talking about how to like declutter your life and clean things up. So I said, you know, let me see what this book is. And I started reading it in a store, and I loved it, and I read it, and it really had an impact on me. It really, really did. Some ways photographically, and in some ways just kind of in my personal life. And I was really surprised that after I read it, that it turned out to be like this kind of big book, like a lot of people knew about it. And when I mentioned it to people, they were like, yeah, I read it, or I saw something on it in the New York Times. So apparently it's a big book, and maybe a lot of people read it. But I just want to talk a little bit about what I got, some of the things that I got from it, things that I had not thought of in the exact way that, you know, that this particular book made me realize. Okay, so in no particular order, one of the things they talk about is like just literally going through your things and getting rid of stuff that you do not need. So they talk about clothes, for example, that what you should do is take all of the clothing you own, dump it in the middle of your living room, and look through it and see what clothing you need and what clothing you want and what clothing you don't want, which is kind of different than what most people do, because most people will kind of clean out the closet, and they give some reasons as to why that doesn't work. And they're trying to say, like, any piece of clothing that you don't like, that you don't love, just throw it away. Doesn't matter what you paid for it. It doesn't matter who gave it to you. Just, if this piece of clothing does not excite you, if you don't love it, just throw it in the garbage and don't think about
that
anything
I agree
else.
With.
Right. And I thought one thing that was funny is I had this sweatshirt, because I think what most of us do is the clothing that we like, we kind of save for special events when we're going somewhere. And then the stuff we don't like, we wear around the house, which is really kind of backwards, because your house should be this kind of sacred place that your best clothing is worn in the house. This should mean more to you than your career and the time you spend going out with casual friends. The time in the house should be your best clothing. But I used to have this sweatshirt. It said Joe Boxer on it. I don't even know what that is. I guess it's a clothing company. Mm-hmm. I probably got it for free somewhere.
It was to get it for free somewhere.
Right. It was the ugliest thing in the world. When I look through all of the pictures for the first year of my daughter's life, I'm wearing a Joe Boxer sweatshirt in a ton of these pictures. I don't know what that is. I don't like it. I don't care about it. But because that's what I was wearing in the house, that's what shows up in all the pictures. And it makes no sense. If I don't like it, I should have just thrown it away. And now I have all these pictures of me wearing a Joe Boxer shirt with my daughter, and it has no significance to me. So this book kind of gave me a different way to look at things like that, that the special part should be my house. You understand? Take my good clothing and wear it in a house. Don't save it for when I'm going out.
Right.
Let your house be something special. And on a similar note, they mentioned the idea of even when you're designing your home, your living room, try to make your home into the place to, as a representation of who you want to be, not who you are and not who you were. But let the home represent the person you want to become.
Vision and clarity.
That's what they're trying to say. And what they're saying is, like, you want to sort of get, this is what I got from the book. I'm not trying to, any of this, I'm not trying to say what they're saying. I'm just saying what I got from the book, how it made me think. And the idea is, like, don't let the home represent the past completely. Like, I don't listen to vinyl records anymore. So why should those vinyl records be in my house? That just represents who I was when I was 15. Why do I need those in my life now? Put something that represents where I'm trying to go. Where do I want to be in 5 years? What in my house represents where I want to go? And I know I do that with the studio. You know, after reading that book, I started adding art books to the studio of the kind of work that I want to create. So now we have books with by Herb Ritz. We have the Pirelli calendar book in the studio. We have a Richard Avedon book here. It's the kind of work that I would love to be creating. And that's what I want the studio to reflect, where I want to go, not where I was or, you know, where I have been. Comment, Mr. Mara?
No, I agree with you 100%. I feel like it is important to have a vision and to be clear about the type of person that you'd like to be and live your life, walk through the world like you are that person, you know? Right.
But I think one of the funny things about it, when you decide to kind of go on this journey of decluttering your life and getting rid of all these things, I got to tell you, to anybody considering reading this book, decluttering your life is a lonely process. You will be alone. And what I mean by that is you're always connected to people. Like if I'm in a studio, Ray, who shares the studio with me, you know, he shares the studio, so he's connected to me. And if I'm going to throw something away, Ray might say, well, let's keep that here. Or maybe Ray has brought something into the studio that I don't really think needs to be in the studio. But since he shares the studio, I might have to have it here because he feels it needs to be here. But I find, and then the same thing in our home, like in our bedroom, there is a chair that no one has ever sat in.
It has sentimental values, okay?
Yeah, we'll talk about that because the book addresses that. But there's this chair, like it's the junk clothing chair. That's all it is.
Everybody's got a junk clothing chair in their bedroom.
Right.
Everybody.
And we certainly do. And if you do the laundry, you just dump your clothes there. You come.
What else would you do without the chair, by the way? Where would you throw those clothes that you never fold?
We are never going to know because
on the floor. On the floor.
If we can't get rid of the chair, we're never going to find out.
I can tell you where it's going to be, on the ground.
I'd rather it be there. But the point
is, while you're waiting to fold them perfectly, they lay on the ground or in the chair for a solid 3 to 4 weeks, okay?
When I say to you, hey, let's get rid of this chair, I met with like, no, we're not getting rid of the chair.
I'm just trying to help you out, bro.
Yeah, thank you.
But you're welcome.
But the point, though, is just this type of, like, you become, you know, you think you're like enlightened, you know, it's like when you become the guy who stops drinking or who believes in Jesus or something, and none of your friends are on that page and you just kind of wish everybody was where you are mentally. But that's one of the things I found, is that as I try to declutter, one of the walls I hit are the other people in my life that aren't necessarily on this decluttering, you know, rant like
me. Well, yeah. I mean, many times, I think it's a lot with a lot of things, though, you know, change is a process for individuals, and it's just something that you're doing and you're going through.
We don't all
have to jump on the same boat as you.
I wish we would, because it would make it easier.
Well,
but for me personally, I did.
Sometimes things aren't always easy, and it's just you move through it.
I know, just like
everything else.
I managed to go through my clothing, and I changed the way I fold the clothing. I use these drawers now. I don't use the closet with hangers anymore. And then the next thing I did was books. All of the books I own, and I really love books, all of the books I own fit on two shelves, and it's starting to spill into a third at the moment, and I need to kind of weed through it again. But I sold garbage bags full of books to the Strand in New York City for pennies. But I mean, I would be bringing laundry bags and garbage bags filled with books because I was so determined to just get rid of these things. And the book helped me do that. And I did the same thing with my photo gear. I took a ton of My Nikon lenses, and I sold them in November of last year, mm-hmm. and I used the money to buy an 58mm 1.4 lens, which is a very interesting lens. The out-of-focus elements look really cool with
Are
the lens.
Are you happy with that lens?
I love the lens.
That's
so much.
That's all that matters.
Actually killed my desire for something called a Leica Noctilux lens. I think it's actually superior to the Noctilux for what I wanted from the Noctilux, and that lens is $11,000. So this was a way better purchase, and I think it just does better what I wanted it to do than what the Leica lens would have done.
Right.
But one of the things that the book talks about is this idea of, like, if you get rid of all the junk, then everything left are things that you just love. Like, I love that lens. And when I look at my lenses now, I don't have, like, a 24 to 85 lens that's just garbage that I just found or that I got cheap or someone gave me. I don't own that lens anymore. Every lens I have now, I love the lens and I actively use it.
Right.
I don't have any dead photo gear
anymore. That's
what
it's about, yeah.
Right, and I used to even have a shelf in my house where I used to have a Nikon F, an F2, an F3, an mm-hmm. F4, and an F5, and I got rid of that shelf. I got rid of it. Now I use that shelf for where I put, like, my working gear. I put the cameras that I'm going to take out of the house with me on any given day.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that's something that I specifically got from the book. And I'm giving you a quote that I like from it. She mentions in the book, she says, this is right from the book, "I recommend you dispose of anything that does not fall into one of three categories: currently in use, needed for a limited period of time, or must be kept indefinitely." And that's it. But you don't keep things that are, like, sentimental. You don't really do it, because the way you look at it is like, again, I'm a martial artist, so I might get a white belt and then a blue belt and a purple belt. And I don't need to save those belts. I just need the current belt that I'm using right now.
Mm-hmm.
My current belt represents all the belts below it. I don't need to keep those belts. And the same is a gift. If you give me a gift that says something about our friendship, I don't need the gift anymore. The fact that you gave it to me indicates something about our friendship, and I can just behave a certain way because I know that's where our friendship is, based on the gift. But I could throw away the gift and it would have no impact on whether you gave me the gift or not. The important thing is you gave me the gift, not the gift. And those are just some of the things that I hadn't thought of in that exact way prior to reading this book.
Mm-hmm. Correct. No, I agree. Definitely me going through that with you was difficult. You know, it wasn't the most difficult thing, but hard, because once again, you know, you're on one plane, I'm on the next. I just wasn't ready to declutter and get rid of, and I wasn't mentally where you were. So, you know, that chair it's a rocking chair, people, that we rocked our daughter in when she was a baby, that he now wants to throw away. How sad is that?
Not sad at all, because one of the things that the book mentions...
Sadness.
One of the things that the book mentions, that when you're afraid to throw things away, often it can fall into two categories. And this very much relates to the photo gear. It's either an attachment to the past. So if I have this lens, like,
I'm attached to the past.
Right. But if I have this lens, this 24 to 70, maybe I used it when I used to be the house photographer for 106 and Park at BET. I'm no longer that. I don't need that. It doesn't fit into my current photo shooting.
Mm-hmm.
It's either an attachment to the past or it's a fear for the future. So you look at this gear and you go, wait a minute. Suppose one day I need a 24 to 85. I don't want to sell it, even though you don't need it now. And when you do that, you're operating out of fear. So the same is with this chair. That falls in the category of it's an attachment to the past.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is, all the things you did on that chair with your daughter, the proof of that or the result of that is not the chair. It's who she is today. The time you spent with her on the chair has made her into who she is today.
I definitely agree with you 100%.
Right. So all you need is her. Yeah. You don't need the chair.
Most definitely. But then where do we put our stuff? You know.
Well, that's a separate issue.
It's a separate issue, people.
Right. But you don't need to keep the chair, you know, for that reason is what...
We do have the floor.
You know, is what the book is saying.
Right.
So that's some of the stuff that I got from the book.
Mm-hmm.
I really loved the book, and I was surprised at how much of an impact it has had on me. And I'm still in the process of, like, decluttering things, but I have managed to declutter a lot, including, best of all, my photography stuff. I've stripped down a lot of the lenses, and I'm constantly looking in the studio for, like, what can we throw away? And I think it helps me remember, too, that the only thing that matters is the people. Nothing, well, that and my M9, which I'm holding up if you're watching the video, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing matters except people and my M9, okay? Nothing else matters.
And chocolate.
And chocolate, of course. I love chocolate. But you know, as you just get rid of all these things, you realize you really don't need every book you ever read in your life and every little piece of clothing someone gave you.
But once again, you know, these are things that we all know, but can we exercise it? Can we put it into action?
I wouldn't say that. What? I would not say that I knew it before I read the book because I looked
at things. Well, maybe not to the degree. Not to the degree, but I do feel like, you know, when you're in your home and let's say, okay, you know, you moved in when you were whatever, 23 or 24 and you've accumulated books and clothing and da-da-da, eventually it becomes ultra cluttered and you do know that it's time to get rid of the things that you can no longer fit and that, you know, the things that you no longer read or whatever the case might be. So I feel like at a certain point we all get to that, you know, point where it's overwhelming.
No, but the way I would have looked at it before, which is one of the things she talks about in the book, is the idea that what most people think is the solution to the problem is one of storage. And there are a million people trying to sell you storage sheds.
Nobody's storing anything.
And I know people, and I'm not going to name people, because this podcast is not a naming name podcast. But I know people who will do things like they will buy a certain type of like plastic bag storage that is designed to be put under the bed. And you can put a boatload of clothing and store it under your bed and under your daughter's bed. And you can just keep endlessly storing things because people think
you're not storing it. It's just a place to put things so you can use it. Right. Storing just means you don't even like
it's the same thing.
Go and but use this thing.
But the point is that what the kind of thing that the book opened my eyes to was trying to make you understand that the solution is not figuring out a place to put these things. The solution is to get rid of 80% of them and just get down to the things that you actually love. Right. And get rid of all of these clothes that are under the bed and get rid of these chairs that are hanging out in the bedroom that no one ever sits in. And that
it's becoming personal, people.
Right. No, we don't get personal on podcasts. Okay? But anyway, I don't know if what I'm saying sounds obvious to you, but when I read the book, it was very, again, life-changing for me, and it really made me see things in a way that I had not thought of them before. I certainly understood about trying to clean up and declutter, but this just put things in a certain perspective that now, if you give me a gift, I really don't have a problem throwing it away, because I understand that it
didn't change anything.
Y'all
remember that? Remember it at Christmas time.
Well, it doesn't mean don't give me a gift.
Remember it at your birthday.
Just means if it's a bad gift, I might throw it away, okay? Anyway, that's some of my thoughts on this particular book, The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up. Okay, maybe you'll check it out at some point. Again,
check out Beyonce's new video, Formation.
Well, it came out like a month ago, right?
But what? Anyway. The video just came out today.
Not the way we released the podcast.
Not, I'm sorry,
the
podcast
way we
people.
The podcast, that video came out like 6 weeks ago, okay? This is not a news. It's not a news podcast, okay?
All right.
But anyway, if you can, make some comments on the YouTube page, whatever. We look at the comments, we respond to the comments, and, you know, I share them with, like, Ray or with Tamara or whatever, okay? So take the time to do it. If you want to find me, Instagram is the best place. That is at John Ricard, JohnRicard. Tamara, where do they find you?
I'm going to tell you who I am right now. I'm Tamara NYCC on Instagram.
Right, so it's T-A-M-A-R-A
NYCC. At Instagram.
And she also has a blog called TamaraLoves.com.
Oh, yes, correct.
So you can find her
blog,
there.
My blog, TamaraLoves.com.
Okay, so hopefully we'll see you guys soon, all right? Thanks
for tuning
in, guys.
Don't forget to slay all day.
Yeah, whatever that means. All right. Bye-bye, people.